Get ready. Here comes another great podcast from the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce. Connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.
Welcome to our Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver. And in today's podcast, I'm chatting with Michael Rooney, Relationship Development Manager at Break Charity. For those of you who don't know Break Charity, I should probably just say the dinosaur trail and it will click with you. The dinosaur trail has become synonymous, or the go-go trail, with summer holidays and families walking all over Norfolk. Today we'll be talking about the incredible work that Break does, the young people they support, and actually how you can get involved. So Michael, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks very much, Hayes. Really looking forward to it. And really keen to speak.
Now, Michael, I know from chats with you, we love to chat. So this will probably be a 6-hour podcast, but let's just crack on. Could I ask you to talk firstly about the special people that Break supports?
Of course. And it's really interesting. Just thinking about it, it's really interesting that you said about people knowing Break. We do get a lot of, oh, Break, you're the people who do the go-go trials, aren't you? Or, oh, yes, I know what Break does. You do charity shops. We get a lot of that. And so this is a really nice opportunity to remind people why we do this, because our charity shops and our trials, as well as hopefully giving a fantastic service to people, whether it's an event in Norwich or bargain at their local charity shop, obviously all the money raised does the work that we do, because we are a Norfolk-based children's charity. At Break, we work alongside young people. The simplest way to describe it is young people in care, mm-hmm. young people on the edge of care, and young people leaving care. And that's across mm-hmm. Norfolk and parts of Suffolk, and also Cambridgeshire as well. And once again, to be really clear from the start, some of our work is obviously funded by local authorities, inevitably, but there's so much work that we do that's funded by charitable income. But we're providing services that the state needs to be provided. So the young people we work with, you said, let me tell you about the young people we work with. The first thing to say, and right, okay, first, engage brain, Michael, don't swear. They are amazing. Our young people are amazing. Insert your own expletive if you wish at any point, but they are amazing. We work with some incredible young people. So why do I think they're amazing? Well, if I had just a small percentage of, and this is where it does get incredibly serious, the neglect, the rejection, the trauma, the family breakdown, and quite frankly, at times abuse that some of the young people we work with have had, I'm not certain I, or maybe a lot of people listening to the podcast, would have made it. There was a study too, it's one that we talk about quite a lot, but it is a powerful statistic. A study done a couple of years or so ago said that young people leaving care, 40% of young people leaving care are homeless within the first year of leaving care. And they are the kind of statistics that we are trying to buck. We want to stop that happening. And we're pleased to say that a lot of the work that we're doing is, you know, having an impact. Through a host of services that Break provides, we at times contain, we nurture, and we can make sense of past hurt. We walk alongside with young people on their journey. And really, Hayes, the simple thing to say is we do it like any loving parent would.
The children that you look after, they've been through the school system, they're 16.
So a lot of the young people, I mean, we're working with young people who are in, I mean, we'll come a little bit later to talk about the host of services that we do provide. You know, we will work with young people essentially from birth. We can work with young people from birth within our, we'll come on talk about our family assessment centre. Most of the young people we work with, their school and their education will have been disrupted because they will have had multiple placement breakdowns. So they get moved from, can be at times from one county to another, different parts of the country. Placement breakdowns in foster care, it breaks down. Residential care breaks down. We can be working with young people anytime from 0 to 18. And then, of course, because we want to give that lifelong offer, and because we are the parent that everybody, we try to take the role of the parent that everybody wants to be. When a young person maybe leaves Break's care and they go on to make their way in the world, why wouldn't we be the first person or the first that they come back to when they want to talk about something that good that's happened? And our oldest person who still comes back to us and tells us what's going on in their life, who was in Break's care, is 39. So they would have left Break's care over 20 years ago.
That's that prickle on the back of your neck feeling, isn't it, that you get of how well that works. And actually, everything you said about the, you know, the potential life that that child could have had with, you know, being disrupted and living in different places, that's why that homeless rate is so high.
And is it any wonder, wonder that that education and general development is hindered? Often we hear things like, our young people will say that education and employment feels like that's the domain of other people, but it's not. It's not for care experienced young people. And we know that we are bucking that trend. Obviously, not every young person has had such a dramatic life as I'm describing there, but so many of our young people, 20, 30, 40 years ago, young people coming into care would maybe have been young people who may have been trouble at home or misbehaving or something. Pretty much all of the young people who are now referred to us for care are referred to us to care for their own health, safety and well-being.
You could be somebody who's been through so much, and yet if your resilience levels are incredibly high, you may cope better than someone who's been through just one of those areas and your resilience is not very good.
They're young people, they're human beings. And I always say, kind of in actual fact, probably 99.9% of the human beings in this country, let's just talk about UK, we're all the same. It's that 0.1% where the hand, or the hand that we get dealt, which we have no control over, can impact on our life chances. And what we want to do is to level that up. I mean, that's a bit of a popular phrase at the moment, but we'll say it and we mean it. We really want to level that up, to make sure that young people who have care experience and young people who've gone through some of the background that the young people we're working with have a better opportunity. And so many of us within work, and some of the people who may be listening to this podcast, chamber members, genuinely, Hayes will be able to have an impact. They will be able to do something. So, you know, but we'll come on to that later.
I love that fact of leveling up. If you have a child with dyslexia and they have additional time, it's not to give anyone an unfair advantage. It's to put everyone on an even playing field. And I absolutely get that.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it really is, the majority of the situations that our young people face are through no fault of their own. How would we all have reacted if we felt rejection, if we felt that there isn't a place for us? How would we do? Would we kick off occasionally? Have we in our lives, when maybe we've been rejected in some way, have we thrown our own toys out of the pram? I'm sure we all have, if we look in the mirror, which is a really important thing to do. Yep. So is it any wonder occasionally you will get, but the support that we give it's pretty much unconditional. We know that when occasionally we take a young person in, their view of the world is, okay, I behave like this. And then the adults in the world who've constantly let me down respond to me in a way which says they can't cope. So that's the way the world works for me. So what we try and do at break is, somebody might come into us and their behaviour might not be exactly what we want, but, and this is where I'll use one of my favourite words, which is curious, we will say, okay, we'd rather you didn't put the window through, try and set fire to something. However, what we need to understand is, what's going on? Why? Tell us why you're doing that.
So, and it's probably about having someone who actually wants to listen to why that is happening. In lockdown, I think that showed all of us, didn't it, what our levels of resilience and coping were. But actually, for most of us, we're really lucky that we have families around us who allow us to kick off or get cross or get grumpy. If you don't have that space to do that, I can't even comprehend how that would feel.
Yeah,
I can see that's so important. So let's talk about the areas that you briefly mentioned, that you touch upon, the community support.
Yeah, realised to me, you know, I feel as though I suddenly want to throw in a joke or something. I'm not going to, but I feel as though I need to, because it feels like it is quite powerful stuff. It's quite serious stuff. You know, our young people are amazing and we have an incredible time with some of them, and the progress is just absolutely astonishing. It's serious stuff. But what do? So we offer children's homes around the county, and we include Cambridgeshire in that. We have children's home in Cambridgeshire. It's a maximum of 4 young people who cannot live with their families, and we try and offer a warm and safe environment where they can flourish and embrace their future, whatever that might look like. So that's our children's homes. And obviously, when we talk about in care, we also offer a foster service as well. So that's obviously, foster care is being in care. We offer community support, which is support for young people with disabilities. And so activity breaks is something that we call, and that's a couple of nights, usually during school holidays or weekends, with longer holidays during the summer. It's a chance to experience activities with young people's peers, which they may not have done before, whether it's sailing, boating, camping, sports, cooking, making things, pamper sessions, all those kind of things. We do that, which, of course, the double whammy of that is that it gives their parents or main carers a break. So that's why it's called activity breaks. And then the community support for young people with disabilities, who, because of the nature of their specific need, cannot access mainstream or out-of-school activities. And once again, that provides a service for the parents and carers. So, you know, a lot of young people with disabilities, you know, once again, are slightly disenfranchised in terms of mainstream services. So we try and make sure that we can put some of those on. So that's our kind of like our disability offer, if you want to sort of use those kind of terms. I touched earlier, Hayes, on our residential family assessment, which is where we can work with children from birth. And this is our residential family assessment centre is a safe environment and for parents who have had difficulties in caring for their children. We offer intensive tailored packages to assess parents' skills to ensure children are safe and protected.
In most cases, you would want the children to be able to stay with the parents if it was then safe for that, because, of course, you want to keep the families together. That's priority, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that would be working towards that. And the safeguarding of vulnerable children is inevitably our prime focus. And that's what, and once again, this is a service that would be, you know, that whether it's Norfolk County Council, Suffolk County Council or Cambridgeshire County Council are paying us to do. They want us to produce an assessment, which means they can make the most in so that the referrer can make the most informed decision about whether a child's needs can or cannot be adequately met by their parents or carers, or whether there is a need for further intervention and alternative care. Obviously, we would work as much as we can with the young person and their families to try and keep that family together. But if the circumstances mean that we don't think that's possible, then obviously the safeguarding of the child and the welfare of the child is the most important thing.
It's great, isn't it? That holistic view of that family, that if it works, we are here to support you, so you're not on your own. For the parents as well, who, you know, in some cases want to look after their children, but for whatever reason, it's not as easy as it would be.
Absolutely right. But we're there, as I said earlier, to walk with them all along the way, to walk with them side by side, not be judgmental, just walk with them to actually say, let's see what we can do here. Let's try and make it work where we can. Part of that service as well, Hayes, would be around our therapeutic services. Mm-hmm. So in our therapeutic services, we have therapists and social workers working with the children who've experienced trauma, abuse and neglect, and no longer live with their birth families as well. We work to strengthen and support the families, the individuals and the professionals in understanding and processing the difficulties being experienced by the child. So it's working. So this is kind of like really working with them. And we run therapy sessions. So there would be play, drama, art, to enable a young person to explore their experiences. So that is specifically with the young person.
That's got to have to be bespoke, because everybody's history is different. Everybody's responses and life is different. So it's not a one size fits all, is it, in any way?
No, not at all. Not at all. And the other thing to is that intervention with the young person can last 3 months or it can last a lifetime. You know, it really, and everything in between, as well as working directly just for the young person to help them explore their past and what's going on with them at the moment. We have an integrated therapy to support the parents and the carers to better understand and respond to the needs of the child or the young person, because that's really important. Because that, as you quite rightly said earlier and you picked up on, is that that's going to increase the chances of, if you've got parents and carers who are now better understanding. And to be perfectly honest, how many of us and the people who are listening to this, how many times during bringing up our children would we have maybe liked to just have an opportunity and say, we would rather not have bawled our heads off at the young person or shouted at them or ended up in tears or stuff like that? Wouldn't it have been, you know, we all occasionally need someone to say, well, look, okay, it isn't the young person isn't being naughty here. Is it, there's something going on, let's try and understand that. That would help us all, wouldn't it?
It's a minefield as well, isn't it? I mean, after lockdown, I don't think there's a parent that could honestly hold their hand up and say, I didn't get cross in lockdown. You're absolutely trying to juggle teaching it. if, you know, that gives you some idea of what life is like. Myself as a parent, I don't really have any of those challenges. We're really, really lucky. It was hard. We had a glass of wine.
That's it. And that's where I think, once again, anybody listening to this podcast, break off as training courses. I've always had a bit of a thought that there's probably a market out there for people who are in business, who are parents, who probably would love to do some of the courses that we offer. So rather than doing courses for people who are kind of like people who are having maybe particular problems with their children, but just actually a course which actually says, okay, I mean, if I were to say to probably that 80% of parents who might be listening to this, if we did a couple of hours course on how you de-escalate a crisis, how when things are ratcheting up and there's an argument going on, and some techniques to actually say, okay,
how can we
we're all sticking a hand up and saying, so I mean, nothing to do with the podcast in a way, but I think there's I would love to hear from people if they think, do you know what, sign me up for that, because I'd be on it. And I think that could be a nice little funding stream for Break in the future.
I feel like that's a great little side hustle that you've got there. But also, I think what it does do is it opens up the fact that because of lockdown, everybody is, well, I certainly have found, and through the work at the Chambers, that people are more open about challenges. We don't feel we have to hide things now. And actually, it's okay to say, I find this hard.
Absolutely.
Well, this was difficult for me, because in saying that out loud, somebody else who's thinking it says, well, I feel like that too, but oh, you're saying it, so maybe I can say it. And it just has that cataclysmic effect, doesn't it, of everyone just saying, we found it hard.
The everyday example of that, or example of that is, you'll have done hundreds of training courses, and how many courses have we all been in where the person who's running the course says, now does everybody understand that? And everybody goes, yes, we do. We all thank that person who sticks their hand up and says, excuse me, I don't understand a word of what you've said in the last 5 minutes. And everyone else goes, oh, thank God for that, because neither did I.
But I guess that then brings up another point, doesn't it, about confidence. And that's where you are helping rebuild that with the children. Because if they don't have parents behind them saying, just put your hand up, just say it. You know, they're a pushy parent. But actually, yep, it's just someone saying, it's okay to say that to your teacher. Exactly. But without that, you're a very different person, aren't you? Without that someone behind you. So that's all right. Makes total sense.
When I talk about our therapeutic services as well, of course, what we also do is we sometimes have our children's homes, our own children's homes, and our own staff and our professionally trained staff will come to our therapeutic team and say, we're having a real issue with one of the young people here. We're just not getting it. We're not making progress as we would like. So internally within Break, a group of Break staff and our therapeutic team will work with one of our residential homes and try and come up with techniques and processes to assist what's going on with the young person. And we know that it can completely unlock something. So that's fantastic.
It's about keeping that care in house, isn't it? You're fully aware of what's happening, and to know that you've got someone just on the end of a phone or an email away, you know, next door, that you can just go and ask.
I must also mention the residencies that we're having with our opportunities team. We've got a team of staff who are giving young people, and particularly with our leaving care people, about doing residencies. Sometimes we use a property that we're using in Wells called Mill House, which is fantastically donated to us for a period of time by the owner. But residencies, which has meant our young people who we're still supporting, but who've left care, and some who are still in care, going on cooking residencies for a weekend, camping residencies. I can tell you that people can't see me, but people who know me know that I'm not in the first flush of youth, and I've been around a long time. But this makes even this old boy social worker makes the, you talked earlier about the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. This still gets me. And to be perfectly honest, I read the reports of some of those residencies and some of the comments from the young people in the impact that it has had on their lives, and it makes me cry. It's as simple as that. It just reduces me to tears. It's amazing. So a big shout out to our opportunities team, who are doing amazing things. The other thing I would always say, and we'll come on to it later, which is about what can people do. If somebody's got a real skill that they would love to impart upon somebody, then they could come and they could potentially come and do a session at one of these residencies if they're fantastic at Outward Bounds and they want to help on a camping trip, I don't know, all those kind of things.
Well, like you say, it's about life skills, the yep. soft skills, and we all have to work on those. It's about having time, isn't it? If you've got yes. time and you want to help, then you want to hear from people. What we will do we'll add all of those links and the areas that you would love someone to be interested in, and they can get fantastic. In touch. So I briefly mentioned earlier the dinosaur trail, and myself and some of the Chambers team were lucky enough to have a sneak preview just before they're installed. Thank you so much. This has been another really successful campaign. So obviously it didn't happen last year. And it's not just about raising the money, but raising, as you said, awareness of where it comes from and what you're doing. How did the idea for the Go-Go Trail all begin?
Probably first thing to say, just to shout out to you. Well, I mean, maybe this is just me talking to you, for you in the Chamber group. But if people, if they haven't picked up on the fact, they all come back next year with a further maybe 25. So there'll be over 40 next year, plus some step mammoth sculptures, a new step mammoth sculpture, which is going to be out in the county.
That kind of feels like the lazy way to do it, doesn't it? There's less walking if they're all in one place.
There is less walking.
How amazing to see them.
If people are thinking, oh, I've missed them and I didn't get to see them, then there is that opportunity for that in November to come and do that. So how did the idea begin? Well, I would love to say it was our idea, but of course it wasn't. It's a company called Wild and Art. And Wild and Art do these mass participation sculpture trails all over the world, in fact. But Norwich, believe I'm correct in saying, Norwich was its first. And this was in 2010. But that was nothing to do with break. We weren't involved at that stage. But the first one people might remember is Go Elephants. It was called Go Elephants, and it was an elephant trail. And that was in 2010. And then Break got involved in 2013 when we started to have a conversation with Wild and Art about a second trail in Norwich. If you're playing cliche bingo at home, this is the first cliche. The rest is history. The history being that we've now gone on to, I think, being the city that has provided the most number of trails in the country. So we had Go Gorillas. I mean, you notice what we did with them. So it started off as Go Elephants, and we had we sort of like started thinking, what can we call gorillas? And we just suddenly thought, well, it's the second one. Let's just go. And the Go became a bit of a brand, and so we love it. So Go Gorillas was in 2013. Go Dragons was 2015. Go Hares was 2018. And now we've got the Go Discover, which is the dinosaur trail. So, and we've just become Wild and Art's regular Norfolk partners. And in fact, some people might know that just last week we had our first auction for the trail that went ahead in Cambridge last.
And how did that go?
It went really well. We raised over £250,000.
That's incredible.
You know, which is amazing. I mean, it is a good sum of money, but my goodness, we have to work hard at it. And in business, you imagine the risk that we have to take in its success, because we only make money at the auction, because you have to buy the sculptures, pay the artists, buy the plinths, do all the back, everything else. So you're kind of like you're forking out a huge sum of money to start with, and you have to make it back at auction. It's become something that Norwich has completely embraced, Norwich and Norfolk's completely embraced, and people seem to love it. What's not to like about it?
I think it's incredible. As a parent, we do the trail, we do it so many times. Just seeing the kids run around, and it's not just kids, grown-ups do it. It's just a great thing to have in the summer holidays. You know, if you've got things to do in town and you're shopping, great. You take the kids and you do the trail, and then you can still carry on. But it's just a fun thing to do that is away from screens. It's not a tech thing, so the kids are out and about.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's, you know, what's it good for? Is it good for the sponsors? We'll ask them. They'll absolutely say it is. It's great for the sponsors, so it's great for business. Is it good for the Norfolk economy, the Norwich economy? We've done significant research, we haven't done research yet on Go Discover, but Go Hares, we know, raised close to £2.5 million for the Norfolk economy, simply because of the number of people who attended the trial and the money they spend when they're in the city. Some people staying overnight in Norwich to do it. So it's good for the sponsors. It's good for the community, as you described. It's good for tourism, and it's good for the economy. And then if that isn't enough, the money raised at the end goes towards supporting a Norfolk-based children's charity.
Exactly. And actually, it shows children who maybe are interested in a creative career that if you're an illustrator or an artist,
completely,
you've got absolutely a valid place too, and not just there, but it shows you how art impacts people. And I think that's so important as well. We love it. We're so glad that it's carrying on. We can't wait to see the mammoths.
They'll be back next year. And obviously there hasn't been an auction in Norfolk this year, but the auction will be probably next October. All of the T-Rexes and the step mammoths will be auctioned. So obviously we hope for a bumpy year. And it's worth saying that people need to go know where that money has gone. Originally, that was the money that ensured that our service that was providing services for young people leaving care was funded.
The other huge thing that we're involved with, happily, and hopefully more next year, is the Go Break Coffee Ban. This is an amazing initiative and it's having really incredible results. So as a chamber, we're working with you. We've used the break ban once at Hethel, and we're going to plan to use it all through next summer when hopefully we have better weather. But could you just talk about this amazing ban for those who don't know?
Coffee Break, and as I often say, you know, Coffee Break, which is what it's called. And as you can imagine, we didn't take too long to come up with that name. It kind of hang on a minute, we're break and we're going to have some coffee. What could we call that? So we didn't have a 6-month-long focus group to decide what the name was going to be. Coffee Break virtually came up almost like during lockdown, really. It was our young people, and it's the first time today I'm going to use the word co-produced, which is about having the young people involved in the services that they want. And our young people came up with the idea of a van, a mobile coffee van, that could be good in terms of improving the employment pathways in becoming a barista or hospitality or whatever, but also raising some money for break. So lots of stages out, the young people then presented to the board of trustees at break, and a bit of money was found to kick things off. End result being that after the young people were involved in what sort of van, what does it need to look like, what's the brand going to look like, what sort of coffee should we use, how is it going to be done, how much are we going to charge, how are people going to pay for it, are we going to have a cash card system and things like that. It resulted in last November, so just about a year ago, Coffee Break, sort of like at the end of the first lockdown, then sort of like came to fruition, started to get its first, we keep calling them gigs, you know, like a rock. We started gigging our first gigs. And honestly, hey, since then, with support of the Chamber, and you've been incredibly supportive, once again, what's not to like about it? We're really clear in what we say, in that it's no use having a fantastic project, which it is, if the product is no good.
Oh, the coffee is very good.
So that we make a fantastic cup of coffee. So then when we go to an event that someone's booked us, or if somebody says, can you just turn up here to provide us with teas and coffees, because we don't want everybody going indoors because of COVID restrictions and things like that, that what they can say is, this is a fantastic cup of coffee. It's as good, if not better, than anything we get at Costa or Starbucks or anybody else. Why wouldn't I want to give our finances and buy that cup of coffee from you? The most important thing is that since last November, when it started, so under a year, we've now got two young people, bearing in mind, let's remind people about the start some of the young people have had in their lives and thinking that jobs are not for them. We've had two young people who've gone on to permanent full-time employment as a result of the skills that they've learned on Coffee Break. And if that isn't enough, so what we can do, Hayes, what we do is we show, not tell. So if somebody says, what does break do? You don't have to get some old fool like me blathering away. What you can say is, have a look at the coffee break van and just look at it and talk to the people that are working on it.
And absolutely. And from the event that we went to, from Lunch on the Green, you were there and Joe was at the van and we were chatting about what we're doing for next year with Joe. But it's just seeing the young person there, and it's just giving them confidence in speaking to people, which is something we take for granted, that we can just do that. But that it isn't that easy. Those powerful stories of people moving, of those children moving on and living their best life for them, is just, that's that tingly neck.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, we often use that term, you know, improving the employment pathways of care experienced young people. What we can now say is, you know, because once again, remember what we said earlier about young people have continually been told things and then been let down. So they might have thought about Coffee Break, and I would imagine some of them went, yeah, heard it all before, that'll never happen. So now we've got a mobile coffee van, they can see there is an employment pathway. I think the next question will be, you know, what comes next? Is it Coffee Break 2, or is it is it pizza break two, or is it Prosecco break two, or
yes, yes, and yes.
So yeah, so coffee break has been a fantastic success.
It really has, and we've been so proud to work with you on that, and we're really excited about working in the future with you, with our Knowledge Hour live events. That's going to be really exciting. So in terms of people, we've talked about the kind of skills that people would be willing to share with you. How do people get in touch with you? What would you like to happen?
The simple thing is to start with, probably just if you can get in touch with me, I'm quite happy for people to email me if there's things that they want to, just to have a conversation, actually. And even if they've got a bit of a seed and idea, you know, we love having conversations. Yeah, we love having conversations. Don't think that it's a crazy idea. Just speak to us. If we think it can't work, we'll say, but who knows? It might be the germ of an idea that could be fantastic. We think there's something for everyone at break. It's a bit of a saying of ours. Well, when I say it's a saying for ours, it's a saying for mine, actually. So we think there's something for everybody. It can be as, and I don't mean as little as, but it can be as basic as, well, donate to one of our break charity shops. If you're having a clear out, if you're clearing out your summer wardrobe and you think, what am I going to do with that? As a company, bag everything up together, give us a call and say, we've got 15 bags of clothes that we've sorted out here, you know, what we want to donate, and we'll come and pick them up. So donate to our shops, or just actually go into the shop and shop.
And now, happily, they're all open again, aren't they? I think that was the most frustrating thing of lockdown, that we were all decluttering and we had nowhere to take
anything. Exactly. And the one thing we're doing very well for, Hayes, is stock. You know, people are coming to us, and our shops are doing an amazing job, you know, led by our retail business manager, Leslie Lee. The shops are doing incredible work, and a big shout out, because I'm sure somebody who is listening to this podcast will know somebody who works in a break shop, and they do an incredible job. And obviously all the money that we raise there is then funds that stuff that we don't get funded elsewhere. It's our charitable income. So yes, shops is one easy way. If you're an employer, could you offer a half an hour to one of our young people and a transition worker, just to see whether your business, if they're showing an interest in your business and what you're doing, a half an hour of time, an hour of the time, just to say, you know, it's not saying we want you to give them a work experience or an apprenticeship or a job, just a conversation to start with. You could be changing a life. You really could help change somebody's life, because they might come to you, or they could come and say, that's for me. That's what I want to do. Could you become a mentor for one of our young people? Could you even become a foster carer? Could you make, as a company, could you make break your charity of the year? We offer so much support, and you'll have loads of fun with lots of events that you can piggyback on. Companies won't have to think about what events they've got to do, because we've got them. We've got the clay shoot, we've got the go-go events, we've got firewalk, we've got lots of challenge events. Do your own event. Just give us a call and we'll have that conversation. I mean, I would be the kind of like the point of reference, and then my job is quite a straightforward one. I'll speak to you and then kind of like pass you on to the most appropriate person within the organisation. So hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it is exactly what you say. It's starting that conversation, isn't it? And just having those chats. I've got time and I want to do this. Can I help? And I think all those areas you've touched upon are so important, and it's whatever time you've got,
absolutely. If it's half an hour, if you're kind of, I don't know, finding yourself with, you know, you're prepared to give up a half a day or something, well, you could receive training to become a mentor and to be a part of one of those secure and safe adults that helps our young people as they move from children's homes into work or into education. So what a role that could be. I must also mention just very quickly, our project after coffee break is our project called Building Futures, which you saw at the North at the Lunch on the Green. Building Futures is a project that we've got up and running, funded fantastically by the Norfolk Construction Charitable Trust. Shout out to them. And that is to give young, care experienced young people an opportunity to improve their employment pathway into the construction industry. Because as one of our young people so beautifully put, how in God's name do I know if I want to be a plumber or a bricklayer? So we will give them the opportunity to try a little bit of all of those things, and then we can refer them on to if they really find an interest in that particular subject. So big shout out.
Absolutely. It's exactly that. How do I know if I want to do that? And that's where it comes back to, if someone can spare an hour to say, I'm in a creative industry, this is my day. At least it gives someone an insight, doesn't it? It's about those insights.
Another thing, Hayes, is even if somebody gets in touch and we say, well, look, at the moment, we haven't got a, there isn't really an opening where we can, we've got any need for what you're offering, but please, please, we will keep you. It's fantastic for us. So many people within the organisation come to me and say, and I just had one this morning, Michael, we've got a young person who's very interested in da-di-da, whatever it is. Have you got a link to that kind of organisation, that kind of industry? And if I've just got a menu of so many people who we've got a link to, then I go, I remember from 3 months ago that person offered and I can get in touch with them.
That's where we come in, isn't it? That's our conversations, they're forever.
And that's where you and the Chamber have been incredibly supportive to us to actually, you know, when we have these conversations, as people might be able to tell, we spark off each other in a way and we'll get people, you know, you will say, well, have you tried this and have you tried that? And yes, I can do an intro to this company. I think they'd be really good. And that's the way, in essence, that's the way we work. And that's the way the world works, really.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Michael, we've got to close, or we'll be here all day. But thank you so much.
You're more than
welcome.
Joining
me today. We'll pop all those links, all of the information about Break into the chat so everyone can get in touch with you. It's been really fantastic to have you here. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's always good to talk to you. The Chamber give us fantastic support. We're so pleased to be linked to them. You know, love to hear from anybody who's listening to the podcast. Please get in touch. It's been fantastic. Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening. And please do join me next week. Until then, keep connecting and take care.
You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast. Connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.